Welcome to Equity Gurus, A Closer Look, where you, the investor, get to listen as Chris Perry grills the best and the brightest in the corporate sector to help you find out who's the wheat and who's the chaff. Listen in.
So my name is Tracy Costa, and I'm the CEO and founder of Peekaboo Beans, and we are trading on the Toronto Venture Exchange under the symbol PBB, like peekaboo.
Like peanut butter butter.
Yes.
So, Tracy, readers of Equity Guru Side have sort of tracked your journey a little bit. We've been talking about you for a while. You're finally public. Congratulations.
Thank you.
How does it feel after all the, I know it takes a long time to get through the process, but how does it feel to finally get to see your ticker symbol moving along?
It's very, very satisfying. You're right. It is a long journey and quite a learning experience and process. But yeah, to get to that day and actually see it happening, it feels very satisfying. That's what I can tell you. I'm proud of everyone that was involved to get us here. So it's certainly an accomplishment that I'm very proud of.
So it was the team at Mackie that that got you public, is that right?
Yeah, I work with Mackie, and I had an amazing legal team, Sanger Moeller, and also my audit team, DMCL. So, you know, it was a combination of the three groups and a great partnership with my shell as well in the reverse takeover. Everyone coming together made it all happen.
So it's a lot of people in Vancouver anyway who are in the small cap game, they have shells galore, they pump them out all the time with the flimsiest of business ideas. But bringing an actual working business that has a track record into an RTO is a much bigger deal. Talk me, if you could, through what it takes to go through just the audit process for a company like yours.
Yeah, I think one of the things when I first met with the Toronto Venture Exchange, they said of the 2,300 companies that were listed, 1,600 of them didn't generate any revenue. So I think it was really appealing for them to have a company like Peekaboo Beans that also has a real culture feel, community feel, and a very relatable story coming in with, you know, close to $4 million of revenue at the end of the year. Was really something that they were pretty stoked about. The process from the audit standpoint was very arduous, as I'm sure you can imagine. We were a private company for 3 years, and we felt like everything was, in good order. But when you get auditors in, you realize that there's better ways that you can do things. So it took us about 6 months to get through that audit process, but this is now our starting point. So we have a really great place to start from now. And I really believe in strong governance. And I think that was, going public, I think it gives us something measurable from the growth standpoint and the governance standpoint to really be continually, guided by and coming from that place.
So you also, before you went public, you had a little round of crowdsourced private equity financing. How did that go?
It's a different arena. Most of my initial investors were friends and family and people who were very connected to Peekaboo Beans. So it was much more of a personal type conversation and communication and correspondence between these individuals and people that came on board. You know, once you get into the public markets, it's, you raise the bar and the governance and everything. So it's been a learning process, but at the same time, the outcome is all the same. We want to grow the business. We've got a great foundation. We're creating jobs for women across Canada by selling our product through their rolling retail boutiques, and we want to continue the pathway to that growth. We just want to get good shareholders, and that's what we did in the private company. And now those shareholders, have an opportunity to stay in the public company and watch us grow the company and do exciting things. So at the end of the day, it was kind of that process in the private company was more of the learning ground for me as I springboarded into the public sector.
Mm-hmm. So for those who don't know anything about Peekaboo Beans, let's go back to brass tacks. What is Peekaboo Beans? What is a bean?
What is a bean? I started the company when my daughter was 2.5. And essentially, Peekaboo Beans is playwear for kids on the grow. We're a lifestyle apparel brand, could be similar to what a culture and a brand like a Lululemon for kids. We create an amazing apparel product for kids to live in and play in, where we separate ourselves as far as growth and opportunity and community is that we've built our we distribute our product through a direct sales network, meaning that we empower women to have their own business, their own boutique experience, and sell our product and earn commission anywhere from 15% to 35% plus any commission that they would earn from people that they bring onto their team. So if you think about old school Tupperware, Pampered Chef, Bella and Dot, that model mm-hmm. where it's so selling, that's how we distribute our products. And we're primarily targeting mothers who, of course, want to be able to marry work-life balance, maybe have their own business, stay at home, earn an income that replaces a job income, not have to go back to work, and also earn an income that replaces one that they would have been having to go out working and you know, and all the cost of going back to work. So really, we are a retail disruptor, and we create amazing product to flow through our distribution channel. And our opportunity is that we're really creating these mobile boutiques. So if you think of food trucks, or if you think of Uber for taxis, Peekaboo's doing that for retail stores. We don't have the upfront cost of retail locations, which is millions of dollars to open up retail locations. And we can scale quickly and build a culture and a community within that of mothers. So it's quite a unique story, and it's a really, really exciting time for Peekaboo Bean.
So you've got, through the direct sales model, you've got, I guess, revenue that comes from people who are signing onto your network as well as the sales themselves. Does that revenue basically just cover the cost of training and supplying them with what they need to sell, or is there a profit every time you sign up a new seller?
There is a profit every time you sign up a new seller. I mean, our sales force is how we grow. So the more stylists, we call them play stylists, which are independent reps, the more play stylists we have selling, the more opportunities they're opening up their rolling retail boutiques in people's homes. The more homes we're at, the more people we're in front of, the more people we're in front of, the more reps we're bringing on. So it's a byproduct of duplication of numbers. We as a company, our goal is to have double-digit growth next year and profitability by fiscal 18. So we're still building that foundation piece. But each stylist that comes on is bringing us closer to profitability. And of course, that's how we grow, is by bringing more people on. So that's what we're doing. We're training. We go out into the field. We utilize the use of proceeds that we're getting from our private placements. And we're going out and we're training our field, and we're injecting the sales and marketing needed to grow. The more people that are selling, the more people that are aware of the product, and they're in the hands of children. And at the end of the day, that's who loves our product the most, and that's who is benefiting from our product the most, is the children. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing, amazing product.
So the children's wear is generally looked at as a high margin, or at least a high profit product, just by virtue of the fact that kids grow out of their stuff, or they rip holes in it, you know, on an astonishingly regular basis. What makes yours different in terms of you know, appeal to parents?
Well, the concept of the company was to build a lifestyle brand. So I didn't want to build another apparel product and feed it into the market. I don't think there's another need for any more products from the fashion component. What I wanted to build was a lifestyle brand that actually looked at how children live and play, and their development and their needs throughout their development. So we have taken a numerous amount of the developmental components and infused them into the product. So we make our clothes fuss-free. We have no buttons. We have no snaps. We have easy zippers. We have zipper pulls that little teeny hands can manage. They can dress themselves. It's all mixed and matched. So, you know, they can't make any mistakes. They don't need, you know, their parents don't need to be with them. They're easy on, easy off. It's high weight fabric. So if you think about Egyptian cotton sheets as opposed to like pilly sheets when you're sleeping, it mm-hmm. feels like that Egyptian cotton. But the thing is you can throw it in the wash, you can throw it in the dryer. We have an amazing vintage resale. So our products oftentimes sell for 50% of retail, or for full retail, or even above retail when the product's been used for 5, 6, 7 years. I do not. And that is, you know, when you talk about kids going through things, that's what we infuse Grow With Me features, so that the styles will grow with them as they grow. And we make it so that it's not a fast fashion throwout piece. I mean, there's 19 billion pounds of clothing product, apparel product that ends up in landfills every year. It's disastrous for our environment. If we can build a better product that actually lasts 10 years, then what are we saying? We're saying we can do something better and be better and value people's money. At the end of the day, we choose to spend how we choose to spend our money on. Let's spend it better. We're making better choices for what we do and in how we buy. Let's think better and teach people better on how we should dress our kids in that regard. So there's nothing out there that's like that. That's why I wanted to create this.
I've seen conversations around your product on social media where someone will pipe up and say, you know what, this stuff's a little expensive. And other people pipe in and say, I thought the same thing, but my kid's been wearing it now for 4 years.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, we hear a lot of that. And we're very proud of that, because at the end of the day, that's what our goal is to make something better that lasts longer and kids are happier in it.
Mm-hmm. And so from a business point of view, you know, the Kevin O'Leary's of the world would cast stones at you and say, no, you must make it so as it needs to be replaced so you make more money. But there's also the case to be said for separating yourself from the greater market by establishing quality and reliability.
Yeah, and I think at the end of the day, we're a culture-driven brand. We, you know, we want to do good things in the world, but yes, we want to grow as a company. The neat thing about this opportunity is kids continue to grow and more babies continue to be born. And the aftermarket of our product is something that I would like to eventually also own. So I think there's opportunities within the model to own that aftermarket product as well. So that's the good thing about kids. They keep growing and keep happening.
It's a growth industry, literally.
You can't stop that. And I think that's why a lot of mothers like our model, because they have a continual flow of customers. Whereas if you buy jewelry, for example, through a party, you can max out your need for jewelry. Like, you can only have so many necklaces, so many earrings. But with kids' clothing, I mean, who do you want to spend? Like, you have kids. What do you want to do? You want to spend it on your kids. Like, you want them to feel good, look good. So, you know, as a mom, you're like, oh, I'm just going to throw it all into my kids now.
Yeah, kids and pets, as I've always thought, are markets where you can never go wrong appealing to people's emotions. You know, they're going to want to spend.
Yeah, and if their kids ask for it, then even more. They're like, oh, they're happy and I'm not going to have to deal with a tantrum or, you know, which socks match and what have you. It's like, okay, we can get out the door easy and quick and everybody's happy. And that's what makes the days flow a lot easier.
And they can dress themselves, and if you don't have that situation of like continually needing to patch and repair. And I have a kid who has ADHD, and so, you know, I'm aware of the situation with different textures and feels and how they may affect the kid's behavior.
Absolutely. You couldn't believe the amount of stories that I've had that Peekaboo Beans has transformed their children's lives because of sensory processing, where they thought that they were dealing with, you know, tantrums or personality disorders or, gamut of different things. And it turns out when they found Peekaboo Beans, literally their behavior fundamentally changed. And that's where we're, you know, education on this piece, on apparel is lacking in the kids' world. They have totally different processing systems than we do. So that's fundamentally changed lives. We have children because we do all safe dyeing practices and no harmful chemicals or toxins are put in our clothing. We do third-party testing. The amount of stories that we've heard about curing eczema, where kids were using, their parents were using, like, these prescription creams, and with our product, they literally, all their rashes have cleaned up. So, you know, you got to think what's going on, what's in your clothes, what's on your clothes. It's just being aware, that's all. And so it has really fundamentally changed your life. At the end of the day, the product is the backbone by what we do. The growth and the scalability is totally in our model. But you know what? Like, if we didn't have a great product, we wouldn't see that growth happening. And we are seeing that. And it's always been that way. The more people that touch and feel our product, the more customers we gain.
So let's talk nuts and bolts. What sort of sales is PBB achieving at the moment, and how does that track from year to year?
So in fiscal 2015, we did $3.5 million. We just finished our fiscal 2016, and we've had double-digit growth since 2015. We are tracking double-digit growth for next year and profitability by fiscal 2018. And all our metrics, I mean, year over year, we've had a great amount of growth and new stylists joining on a daily basis.
So the number of stylists that you have, what sort of numbers are you talking, and how does that track?
We have, we just hit our 1,000 stylist mark. So that was a really exciting milestone for us. And like I said, right now we organically are growing stylists daily. As soon as we put fuel on that fire with training and marketing, and opportunity events across Canada, then that just exponentially happens. As you know, in the direct sales, or as you may know, in the direct sales industry, it's just a multiplication of numbers. The more people you have, the more people talking about it, the more soirees or parties that people are having, the more people they're reaching. It just is a byproduct of duplication. Now, daycare nowadays is, mm-hmm. is ridiculous. Moms trying to figure out they're going to pay for daycare, go back to work. This is a massive opportunity for moms to be able to stay at home. And as a child, I always wanted to own my own store. You know, that was one of the things I thought, oh, that would be so great. You can merchandise your own store. You can set it up the way you want. You could have customers. And I always imagined that as a kid. But, I mean, who has, $500,000, $1 million to start their own boutique? And this gives mom that opportunity to have an outlet for entrepreneurship, but also have that creative outlet where they're like, I can sell the clothes. Clothing, and I can sort of merchandise my own rolling retail boutique. It cost me $199 to start, and I have the back end support of Peekaboo Beans Corporate, from training, resources, marketing, social media, and everything at their fingertips through our back end software.
On the Mac side, what is your best stylist, the one that is doing the most sales across the country, what are they earning for you, and what are they earning for themselves?
Right now, our top rep would probably make around $50,000 a year, which is unbelievable. The compensation plan is built for hyper growth and hyper payouts when you get to those top level, like a director role. Mm-hmm. So as you move through the ranks, you can be a hobbyist within the company, and just because you love the company and you love the product and you want to get a discount, and you want to sell your certain minimum amount, you can do mm-hmm. that. You can do it where you're a teacher and you teach from 8:30 to 2:30, and then on the side you have a business that gives you a tax benefit. And also gives you the money for your family vacation. Or we have, the top 20% that are just super entrepreneurial, were go-getters in their previous careers before they had children, and knock it out of the park, and they make a career out of it. So earning $50,000 right now at a sort of entry-level position where we're, as a company, from a compensation payout, that's low where our potential lies, where people can get that through working through the compensation plan. Mm-hmm. Great opportunity for people to build. And that's where the training comes in. We provide that all the personal development and leadership. We create that platform for people to learn, to see how they can move through that rank. So you're not set into a portal and said, go do this. We really help to train and to create leaders, so that leaders become leaders and more leaders are created below them and what have you. But they call it like a meet me where I'm at plan. So wherever I'm at, whether I'm a hobbyist, whether I'm a sidepreneur, whether I'm a business builder, this Peekaboo Beans has the opportunity within it.
So for an outsider, for someone who's probably unfamiliar with the space, the supposition for a lot of fashion brands, especially when it relates to kids stuff, is this is a lifestyle business. not necessarily something where it's gonna, you know, be supercharged for growth. Having dealt with you for a while now, I know full well that you're still working at midnight every night, and I don't think I've seen you in any time not be fully supercharged for this business. How does it gone from this would be an interesting thing to this is my life?
Yeah, good question. You know what it comes down to? It comes down to passion. I struggled with years of infertility. In fact, 10 years of trying to have children resulted in 2 children through in vitro. So I just feel like that really, that stage of not thinking that I was going to be able to be a mother really supercharged my passion when I did have children. And it made me really see what life was like through the eyes of child. I had a very, very active, playful daughter, and she wanted to move and do everything that children do. And she showed that to me. And what I did was I took her voice and I just channeled that into this business. And a passion for children. I mean, the other day at Thanksgiving dinner, I was at the kids' table eating and all the adults were at the adult table. Like, I love being around kids. They're the purest best of everything, and they're the future. They're our future. They're the next generation. And I feel like if we can support them and our message of play in an overstructured world, in a technology-driven world, if we can give children the backbone of what they need to have a healthy start, that is truly the cusp of why I do everything. The fact that I can create a business out of that, and then empower women to have their own opportunity to have their own business and stay at home and nurture those children, or to have a business aside their jobs and be able to support their family in another way. Like, to me, that is just like, and then to be able to build a company that has shareholder value, and I can have all of my reps become owners, all of my shareholders, my staff to become shareholders. Like, that, this is just legacy driven. This is, so when you say I don't sleep, it's because I really deeply care about every path within this business. And it will be absolutely a story to watch out for. I have no doubt in that. And this is, you know, this is the early times where, you know, we've built the foundation so that, it, you know, a lot of that risk is taken out. And we're still at a young phase, but at the same time, the foundation is built to show that growth. And we're knocking it out of the park with that. So I'll keep doing what I'm doing. And luckily, I have great people like you who, you know, give us a platform to talk about what we're doing. I have a great team. I have a great support network at home to be able to help. I don't think I'll ever stop. I just I don't know if I'll be able.
You're having too much fun with it.
I've
seen your media pieces over the last month, of which I think you've carpeted the nation. I think every major media outlet has run at least one peekaboo theme story, and every one of them, the pictures always tell a story of you're just having a great time.
Yeah, I feel very lucky that media has really picked up on what we're doing, because I mean it's revolutionary. It's revolutionary from disruption of retail. Like, if you look at all the retail chains that are closing, I mean, how do you compete against Joe Fresh and Costco and Walmart? Like, that's, they're just,
well, you wait for them to die. Basically, retail, and as far as fashion's going, is going the way of the dodo.
Totally. And then online, well, online's great, but here's the thing. Moms, like, are dying to get out of their house. They, like, if they have to watch another episode of Caillou and
I think we're united in our hatred of Caillou.
But that's the thing. They want to get out. So how great. They can get out. The kids can play. You can socialize. They can sell products and make money at the same time and activate their brain. Like, it's revolutionary for retail, in particular for moms and for children.
So it's less about selling units, at least in the short term, and more about building a community of people who are saying, look, we're all interested in the same thing. We all obsess about our children, want them to be wearing clothes and using products that are top quality and not going to harm them. And then while we're at it, you know, hey, everyone's having a play date while they're going through the product.
Totally. Totally. That's exactly it.
Which is what Joe Fresh will never have.
No. They'll have fast fashion and they have cheap and cheerful and all of that. And that's great. I mean, it's whatever. It can still, you know, you can complement it with our product too. But it's like buying a great black suit. Like, you need your great black suit and you can have is infused in that, you know?
I can't tell you how many times I coach my kids' soccer team and you turn up to practice and there's like a 200 kids around and 30 of them are wearing the same t-shirt that their mom bought on special at Costco. And, you know, you think that's not going to play in high school.
No, exactly.
You actually, the first time we met, you had some kids' clothes with you. And I'll admit that, you know, having gone through many, many, many kids' clothes with my two, I was like, oh, great, here's another lifestyle business. You know, it's going to be some pretty designs and great. But then I actually picked them up. And, you know, it's the sort of stuff that I would buy for myself from Mountain Equipment Co-op, you know. It's like sincerely heavy, thick, you know, like quality product. It's not, this is the cheapest that we can buy for the price. It's, you know, there's elements to it that are obviously that you put a lot of thought into.
I think that's what it comes down to, is there's a lot of thought that's put into what a basic shirt might look like. We custom develop our fabric, so they're, you know, to our specifications, which makes them consistent at season over season. And I think, just like you said, I remember your face when you first, you know, picked them up. It's like, oh yeah, I get it now. This is different. And I think that's where the shift happens for people, is like, oh, I've never seen or felt anything like this for children. I'm so used to that cheap, fast fashion. So
it made me feel bad, because it made me realize that I was buying stuff for my kids that I would never buy for myself.
I know, and I think, you know, kids put it on, and then instantly they're like, hey, what is this? And then they're our best customers, because they say, that's all I want to wear, and they dig to the bottom of the laundry basket, and mom's having to wash it every night. So
just as well it lasts. So in terms of the investor side of things, you know, so you've made around $3.5 million last year unaudited. If that's your revenues, your expenses, you're not yet break even, where is the majority of your expenses going at this point?
Our biggest challenge as a young company is the production to payment cycle. So we pay for our goods, you know, 4 months in advance for 50% of the deposit, and then before it gets on a boat, we pay for the balance. So there's that production to payment cycle that's tricky for us, that we continually manage, and we've been bridging that in the past. We've been bridging it with shareholder loans and what have you. And and right now, it's just our infrastructure, so our staffing. We have 15 staff in our corporate office in Richmond, which is all consists of design, production, customer service, logistics, warehousing, shipping, and our finance and admin and marketing. So that's the core expense base right now. As we grow, and our use of proceeds is really to grow areas within Canada that are sort of untapped. 75% of our business is in the West, and we're growing in the East, but we want to activate the field in the East, so we want to take myself on the road and field trainers, hire field trainers to get out in the field and train up our top sales leaders and also create recruiting opportunities for our stylists, so that they can bring people and hear about the opportunity and continue to recruit. So that's the core. I mean, that's the nice thing about it. It's actually pretty simple. It's just training up the field and the infrastructure to be able to have the inventory to grow.
So the money that you raise going public, that takes you through what sort of a runway?
That'll get us to, if our financing is $2.5 million. We've raised $1.1 million, and then the balance, once we raise all that, that'll take us to profitability.
Okay. So that removes a lot of risk.
Yeah.
And you're coming out with a new winter collection, is that right?
Yes. We just came off the heels of our 10-year anniversary collection. We had our conference in July, which 100 of our reps came out for a week-long extravaganza. So our 10-year collection was amazing. And we're launching our winter collection on October 18th, which is a beautiful capsule collection of just amazing, bright, beautiful colors for holiday pictures. And the great thing about our product is it looks so fantastic, but it's like wearing your pajamas. So you can do all your Christmas photos and your Christmas parties and your holiday parties, and kids love it because they feel fantastic, and you're not battling with them to wear a fancy little dress or stiff, you know, khakis or anything like that. So
right.
October 18th is our release date, and the catalog's live now. You can view the catalog, but the actual launch happens on the 18th.
So that presumably allows your reps to go out and hit everyone they've previously hit one more time with a whole bunch of new stuff.
Yeah, the holiday season and direct sales is the biggest selling market, bar none. And it really gives our reps the opportunity to reach out to their client customer base, and, you know, generate income. So I say shop local. Like, I'm all about, you know, really... Direct sales has really transformed the way I shop, because I don't have to go out. I can buy jewelry from one of my reps. I can buy lotions, potions from another rep. I can buy candles from another. I can buy cookingware from another. I can buy clothing from another for women's clothing. So support local. I these women, it's like ground floor. They earn money rather than going to a big box store and buying from a big box store where it's actually not making that big of a difference until someone else's bottom line.
Mm-hmm. So your next 6 to 12 months, what does that look like for you? Is there the potential for acquisitions? Is there new products? Is there new ways to reach profitability?
Well, we try to remain extremely focused on our goal of profitability, and that is training up our field to grow our stylist base. We have an enormous amount of potential outside of that once we reach profitability,
mm-hmm.
But we're laser focused on that. So everything that we do is going to be focused around a great product launches, and training our field and supporting our field from the standpoint of making them feel empowered to be able to sell the product, understand what it takes to grow a business, and understand the compensation plan so they can understand how they directly benefit from the sales that they're doing and the people that are recruiting to their team. There is, like I said, an immense amount of opportunity for new products. I envision in the future, once we break profitability, to have an enriched rolling retail boutique so where we could partner with other brands like the Native Shoes of the world, other shoe brands, other bag brands, backpack brands, and create a real rolling boutique. So really take that whole retail experience and put it in the hands of these women and give them more opportunity to reach people, more opportunity to sell different products, and really create a robust shopping experience in a mobile way. And that's my goal once we are profitable. But right now we're laser focused at increasing our stylists and growing that base and getting to profitability.
So somebody who buys into the stock now is buying into a company that is growing quickly on all fronts, just putting out new products for the holiday season, has a big growing family of sales reps who are enthused to make money while they're, I guess a lot of them are at home looking after their kids, and in an industry that has been hurt by the changes in the retail landscape, but you know, your company is run in a way that doesn't affect you at all.
Totally. It's very disruptive. And the great thing about the investment side is that I worked really hard at the structure, so it's a very tight shell. We did the private placement at $1.05, which valued the company at just over $6 million. So 6 million shares issued and outstanding. It's very tight, which, you know, so it's a unique offering in that way. And we have a very dedicated shareholder base from the standpoint of all of my insiders are all pooled. So great structure within that as well.
So since you went live, normally, you know, I see companies in this space that when they go live, they... on the markets, they tend to take a bit of a drubbing in the first few weeks.
Yeah.
Your company, it's down a little bit from where it was the first couple of days, but really it's held its value, which is really surprising for a small float where, you know, one person getting itchy and selling their stock can have a real big impact on the bottom line.
Yeah, again, well said. We sort of knew there was going to be a little bit of a flushing of some of the old Shell shareholders, some legacy people that were in. But we also knew that it was fairly controlled. There wasn't that much that was going to be put out. So we did anticipate that, but that's going to be flowed through fairly quickly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's all about just building the company. And I mean, that's what I'm here to do, is build steady growth. And then once we're profitable, that hyper growth will come. And so it's a great time right now, because the valuation is a very fair valuation based on close to $4 million in revenue with a market cap of over 6 million. So,
Congratulations on getting where you've got, not just in building the company to start with, but some navigating going public without getting your backside fed to you. A lot of people who are a lot more experience at the helm of public companies have had a lot harder times than you have at the end of it all.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I feel like it's one of those things where you follow your values and you go with your gut in a lot of ways, and you partner with the right people and you get the right people surrounding you, and then you've got a good base. So I'm
right.
Fortunate and smart.
So onward and upward. We'll check in again with you in a few quarters and see how things have been traveling.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. You're awesome. Thanks for always giving us a shout out and supporting young companies like Peekaboo Beans. I know it's kind of a different and unique company, and so it's, you know, you're used to probably dealing a lot in the resources and technology, and so it's great to have some highlight on some new and interesting things in the market.
I just like a good story, which is kind of why I got stuck owning shares in a company that grows gooey ducks, but, you know, that's a different story. So thanks very much for chatting, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Chris, and have a happy birthday.
Thanks, bye.
You've been listening to Equity Gurus, A Closer Look. See you next time.